KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
I school bet and I woo bet, cause I know bet, so I do bet. She says we do bet, we school bet, that's what my girl said. She's my Japanese girl. She says we school bet, we do bet, and scare bet, and scar walk. She says she do bet, so I school bet, cause I do bet. And I do that, cause I scuba, and I do it, that's what my girl said. Japanese baby tells me every time I come home at work. We knew that, we school that, so I do that.
Father of creation, yeah, yeah. One. Bond. James Bond. 007. Licensed to kill. I am the lady killer.
Dollars instead of bond.
Now listen. I know y'all been rained on. I know y'all wet. Some of y'all may be tired, all right? But listen, I'm gonna get y'all to help me sing this song. I told y'all I was gonna need a little help, right? All you gotta do is say, help me. Now, it don't matter if you are not a good singer. It does not matter. You can hollow it out, all right? So it don't even matter how you sound. I just want you to say, help me. Y'all gonna help me? Y'all ready? Let me tell you how I'm gonna do this, all right? First of all, I'm gonna get the men, all of the guys, and we're gonna see what y'all can do. We're gonna make this a little competition thing, all right? So ladies, get ready, ladies, get ready. Y'all ready, guys? I want you to holler it out just like you be hollering at your wife at home. Real loud, y'all ready? Here we go. Come on and help me. You be wanting your husband help you take out that garbage, and you say, help me. I want you to say it the same way. Y'all ready? Will you be wanting him to pick up his clothes off that floor? I want you to say it the same way. Y'all ready, ladies? Y'all gonna help us? Oh, here we go. Come on and help me.
Yeah.
together. like that? Y'all like, no,
That was the Wilkins Sisters, live from the 2024 Riverbeat Festival on Beale Street Caravan.
We'll be back with more music from the Wilkins Sisters, live on Beale Street Caravan.
Up next, Grammy-nominated bluesman Guy Davis takes us through the life histories of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame. This segment is brought to you by the Blues Foundation and is also available as a standalone podcast through iTunes.
Right after New Year's Day, 1935, Honey Boy landed in Memphis. The cold wind off the river tore through his traveling rags, and he headed up to Beale Street for something to warm up with. He was 19 years old, and all his life in Mississippi, folks said Memphis was the happening place for music. Honey Boy headed straight for Beale Street Park. There, out in the open, he saw every Memphis legend he'd grown up hearing about. Frank Stokes, Will Shade from the Memphis Jug Band, Sleepy John Estes. There was little Buddy Doyle, a red-eyed midget with a six-foot-tall wife. Buddy sat on a park bench playing his guitar, but his feet didn't reach the ground, so he just kicked his legs and bumped the bench to the beat. And then in one corner, Honey Boy spied a beautiful woman. She looked like a mermaid with shiny hair. She smiled gold teeth and carried a silver resonator guitar. It was Memphis Minnie. Honey Boy heard her playing Bumblebee like it was just for him.
Bumblebee, Bumblebee, please come back to me.
An older guy named Dewey, another one of the Memphis Jug Band, caught Honey Boy staring and chimed in. She's pretty good looking, but pretty rough too, boy. She liked to fuss, cuss, fight. You'll drop that guitar and go turn a trick for a dollar. Dewey had threadbare clothes and bags under his eyes. He sounded as weary as he looked. That's the hard times, he said. Women will come to you and say, if you buy me a sandwich, I'll turn you a trick. Worst town you ever seen. You make it here, you make it anywhere. Honey Boy said, hell, I'm just glad we don't have to buy whiskey from a bootlegger. You want to go down to the Pantay's drugstore down the corner 3rd and Beale, Dewey told him. Honey Boy walked in that direction and stopped at the 1 Minute Cafe. The place was packed, but about half the people looked like hobos just standing around. Honey Boy figured they were allowed to hang out and keep warm. He got up from his plate to grab a bottle of RC. When he got back, not 1 minute later, a bum had taken his seat and started eating Honey Boy's hamburger. I'm hungry, the man said. It's yours, Honey Boy told him. After hitting the Pantay's, Honey Boy returned to the park with a few bites of food and the sweet burn of whiskey in his stomach. He jumped at the chance to jam with the Memphis Jug Band, and the old men were glad to have a fresh face as people who came to hear the new guy in town left tips in the cigar box open at their feet.
You can toot your whistle, blow your horn. The Memphis Jug Band up in here and gone. Whitewash station.
Afterwards, Dewey divided out the tips. Honey Boy noticed that for every dime he got, Dewey kept a quarter. Got to pay Dewey dues to play these blues, the old man said. But Dewey was all right. He offered Honey Boy a room for the night, and the men walked off together. You held it tight for a young blood, Dewey said. I've been around, Honey replied. Ran with Big Joe Williams. Where's Joe working now? Dewey asked. Work? Said Honey. I don't think he'd work in a bakery if you give him a cake every time the pan came out. Dewey laughed. Honey Boy went on. He come to Greenwood. We had a juke house there called Black Roses. He played Highway 49. And I just stood there and looked at him.
I got a long time, woman. Give on
He said, "Why are you looking at me so hard? Can you play?" I said, "A little bit." He took a drink. I strummed one or two numbers on his guitar. Joe said, "I can learn you." Just like that, me and Joe left there, hitchhiking and hoboing. I stayed with Joe 8 or 9 months till I got plumb good. We went down through Vicksburg. He learned me how to play for nickels and dimes on the street and hustle at barrel houses. He taught me how to make it. Then Joe started drinking heavy in New Orleans, and he kept trying to fight me. I don't weigh but 110, so I slipped off and left Joe sleeping. They laughed and walked up a flight of rickety wooden stairs to Dewey's flat. Dewey introduced Honey to his stepdaughter, a beautiful young lady called Baby Peaches. Honey Boy took one look and fell for her long, curly hair. By the next morning, she had all of Honey's money that Dewey didn't get, and it was time to go back to work. At the park, the old guys from the jug band had another young fellow with them. He was tall, skinny, and had a bad eye. Honey thought he couldn't have been older than 16. His hands trembled, and when he sat down on the park bench, he swayed back and forth like he was in a rocking chair. But he could make sounds come out of that harmonica that Honey didn't know were in there. The jug band guys called him Shaky, but the gangly youth introduced himself as Walter. When Walter blew those blues, the people flocked. Old Dewey just plunked his washtub bass and watched the silver fall into the cigar box. Honey graduated from Big Joe Williams University, and it didn't take him long to see Dewey's racket. The young guys brought in more tips and were easy to take advantage of. They jammed and drank all day. Another lovely night with Baby Peaches and another broke morning, and Honey felt it was time to sneak off from old Dewey just like he'd left Big Joe. He wanted to dodge Beale and maybe find someplace else to set up, like the train station. He was walking up Gayoso Street when he saw a tall, skinny boy seated on the front steps of a house, rocking. "Dewey's slick," Honey told Walter. "I ain't going back to him." Walter stood up, brought Honey inside, and introduced Honey to his mother, Miss Emma. Emma told Honey, "Walter started playing when he was 5 years old. Miss Emma saw Honey's guitar and his young face and said, "Walter, this is who you're supposed to play with. Why don't you quit them old people? Y'all work together, and I'll keep your money safe." She left the duo with a little advice. "Run down to Front Street. The livestock brokers are bringing cows from Mississippi and Arkansas to sell." Miss Emma made her money in the hustle. She knew where the cash would be coming in. Walter grabbed his harmonica. "That's all I need to carry with me," he said. Honey and Walter walked down from Gayoso Street toward the Mississippi River. They could see steamboats tied up. They watched the white men walking passels of hogs and cattle down the gangplanks to the cobblestone landing and hurry to the market house. Front Street stood tall with its row of cotton warehouses, but side streets of little alleyways had rows of one-story shotgun houses. Every streetwalker in Memphis knew it was market day too, and Honey and Walter could barely breathe through the perfume. They played and picked up a few quarters and watched the women lead the men coming out of the livestock market to the alley. Honey and Walter followed, Honey playing his guitar, Walter moaning through that harmonica. There they found the queen of all street women, the goddess of the guitar. Honey recognized the flash of gold teeth and the silver resonator before the song hit him.
"Bobby, Bobby, don't be gone so long. Bumblebee, bumblebee, don't be gone so long. You're my bumblebee and you need a chair home."
After dark, they came back up Beale. The jug band had turned in by then, and the sound of Memphis Slim's piano called them to the Midway Club. They walked upstairs over a liquor store and saw Slim.
"I hear the blues everywhere.
He had the women swaying. Honey and Walter just watched and shook their heads. Slim looked smooth at that piano, had a nice suit jacket and slick hair. But when he stood up, Honey and Walter cracked up. His pants looked like they were made out of patches. The boys warmed their bellies and headed out. They could have kept this going forever, but Miss Emma had a plan for them. She saved their tips for a month until one day her son and his guitar-playing partner wanted to grab some of that cash. "It's gone," she said. "Gone," Honey Boy shouted. Miss Emma chuckled. "I bought a couple of train tickets with it." Honey Boy thought she had lost her mind. "Where are you going with our money?" "I'm not leaving anywhere," said Emma. "You two are going to Chicago." That's where Shaky and Honey Boy would call home for the rest of their days.
I'm going away. I'm going way across town. Oh, yeah! I gotta go way across town.
Thanks for listening to the Blues Hall of Fame podcast, brought to you by the Blues Foundation. The Blues Hall of Fame podcast is produced by Beale Street Caravan for the Blues Foundation, written by Preston Lauterbach and voiced by Guy Davis. For more information on the Blues Foundation, go to blues.org. Street Caravan has brought the sounds of Memphis to public radio airwaves for more than 20 years. And now you can see what we've been talking about. Check out our series of digital shorts through our website or go to ilistentomemphis.com.
I Listen to Memphis is about Memphis music today, the people who make it, and the places and culture that fuel it. ilistentomemphis.com.
Beale Street Caravan is also supported by awards from Memphis Travel, Tennessee Arts Commission, Arts Memphis, and the Thomas W. Briggs Foundation.
TennesseeVacation.com. The soundtrack of America was made in Tennessee.
We're back, and for those of you just tuning in, we're showcasing the Wilkins Sisters live from the 2024 River Beat Festival. As we've been hearing, this family is steeped in Memphis music tradition, but what's really as exciting is how they're continuing to carve out their own identity, even as they honor their father's legacy.
For a while, the sisters were known as 3D, performing alongside Reverend Wilkins. But now, as the Wilkins sisters, they've found their own voice. Their blend of gospel, blues, and R&B creates a soulful, uplifting sound that speaks to both the past and the present. And it's clear when they perform that the family bond is strong, not just in blood, but in music as well. These women bring a level of energy, emotion, and connection to the stage that you can't fake.
I'm telling you, Steve, it's been incredible watching them rise and honor their father's legacy while still creating their own path. Let's hear more from their performance at the River Beat Festival. Here's the Wilkins Sisters live on Beale Street Caravan.
Trouble all in my way. Get out.
All right, hello, caravanners. This is Thomas Cribbins today with our interview going along with the Wilkins Sisters Riverbeat 2024 show in the office today and in the studio in the office today. I've got Mr. Amos Harvey, and I want to thank him for coming down to Bill Street Caravan. How you doing today, man?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thanks for having us, and thanks for putting some focus on the Wilkins Sisters.
Yes, sir. Indeed, man. They have a long tradition on Bill Street Caravan, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that tradition going, man. Thank you.
Good deal.
So clearly, if y'all are listening pretty intently, you can tell that that's not a Wilkins Sister sitting across from me here today. So, Amos, we talked a little bit before we started recording, but why don't you tell the folks a little bit about your role with the Wilkins Sisters and the Wilkins family?
Man. Sure. Yeah, my name's Amos Harvey, and I got to know Reverend John Wilkins, who was the Wilkins Sisters' father and also the son of Robert Wilkins, who made Prodigal Son famous by the Rolling Stones, covering him. But I met Reverend Wilkins down in Como at his church, Hunter's Chapel Church. We got to know each other, started going to his church off and on and listening to him play, and songs started coming out of him that he had forgotten that he knew. And we just started becoming friends, and I asked him if he wanted to make a record, and then ended up making a full length with Big Legal Mess called You Can't Hurry God that was recorded down in Water Valley. I think it was the Money Shot back then. And it was amazing, but we were listening to it. It was like, we need some backup vocals. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, let me call my daughters down here. Mm-hmm. And in they came and sounded beautiful. Sure. And so hearing them sing was amazing, and then so we started incorporating them into the touring band. I mean, you cannot get the vocals together from family, those chords and harmonies and whatnot just can't be beat.
Yes, sir.
Those vocal cords are so similar to each other that the blend, you know, you don't want to put separate mics on that. You want all that to go into one sound. But after several years, Rev was ready to make another record. And so we talked about where we wanted to do it and whatnot, and we were like, let's go to Royal. He grew up just down the street from Royal Studio and had done some recordings throughout his young life, not necessarily at Royal, but with O.V. Wright and some other folks around town, and it just felt right. So Boo was amazing and opened up the studio, and we got Reverend Charles Hodges on keys. We got Kevin Cummins on guitar, Steve Potts on drums, and we had Jimmy Kennard playing bass with us. And it just felt so right. And that record was called Trouble. And it was a super fun record to make. And Rev wanted to feature his daughters more prominently on that record than the first, because it was just getting going. So we did. And they got in the booth, and Boo gave them one of Al's old big lumpy microphones, and they looked at me and was like, hey, we only have one microphone in here. And I was like, I know. It's like, we can't separate you. Your physical mix is going to be better than anything we can mix between three mics. Yes, and sir. It was, and they just sounded beautiful. Anyway, that's a long story, but that's how Riverbeat.
Yes, sir. And that's the recording you guys are checking out today of the Wilkins Sisters at that Riverbeat Fest. And you made an excellent transition that really kind of started answering a question I was going to ask you toward the end there. For many that don't know, before he passed, as you can tell from what Amos was saying, Reverend Wilkins was an active artist in his advanced years of age, right?
Yes.
And I was wondering, listening to you talk, you know, what do you think he thought it was that gave him that motivation to keep going, not letting any barriers keep him from spreading his music, spreading his gospel? And as you alluded to, I mean, the sisters naturally have that same spirit within them, so it's no question they would keep going.
Yes.
In spite of what happened.
I think there were several things. One, he loved people. Yeah. And he liked carrying his music around and letting people hear it and see in different places. And he really loved taking his daughters with him.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to tour with his family.
And he did.
And he made it happen. It was really interesting. One time we were in the UK, and he was being interviewed, and somebody, it felt like the interviewer was trying to call him out. I was like, well, what are you doing playing in this club if you're a preacher? And he said, well, everybody needs to hear this music. And he said, there's worse people sitting in the church than sometimes there are in these clubs. And I can speak to all of them.
Yeah, I'm too.
He said it more eloquently than that, but sure. He loved to spread the word, and not in an overly fire and brimstone way, but in a very inclusive, loving way. Yeah. And if you ever had gone to any of his church services in Como, you'd feel the same thing. Yeah. It was never fire and brimstone. It was inclusive.
So where can we find Wilkins Sisters online if we were stumbling around?
We need a better online presence.
I mean, Facebook is enough sometimes.
Yeah, and so Rev has a Facebook page, and that's pretty much where I've been posting any of their shows and upcoming events and whatnot. So that question is a good inspiration to get our putting gear a little more for some more presence.
Yes, sir.
Basically, so Facebook on Reverend John Wilkins' page is where you see us listed, and hopefully soon we'll have our own Wilkins Sisters page.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Amos, so much for stopping by Bill Street Caravan today, man. I want to spend a rest in peace and a shout out to Reverend John Wilkins and thank him and his legacy for all they've done for Memphis music and regional music in the Mid-South, man, and all over the world, really, clearly, with the Rolling Stones. And thank you again, Amos. And that's been Bill Street Caravan. Y'all make sure to go to Reverend John Wilkins' Facebook page and go to YouTube, I Listen to Memphis, and type in Reverend John Wilkins, and you'll see.
There's a lot of great stuff on YouTube, Rev.
Yes, sir.
And Thomas, thank you for having me and y'all, again, putting a spotlight on the Wilkins sisters.
Yes, sir.
Much appreciated.
Indeed. Thanks so much, Amos.
Thank you.
Here's the Wilkins Sisters live on Bill Street Caravan.
This song here was my daddy's song he wrote about his church in Como, Mississippi. Come and go.
That was more from the Wilkins Sisters live on Bill Street Caravan. For more information on their music and upcoming shows, Google the Wilkins Sisters online and look for all the latest information. We hope you've enjoyed this celebration of family, legacy, and Memphis soul. Be sure to stay tuned for future episodes of Bill Street Caravan, bringing you the best of Memphis music, one performance at a time.
That's it for today's show, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Bill Street Caravan is brought to you with support from Memphis Tourism, Arts Memphis, Tennessee Arts Commission, and the Thomas W. Briggs Foundation.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bill Street Caravan is supported by awards from Memphis Travel and Tennessee Arts Commission. We like to remind our listeners to please show your support for public broadcasting. You won't find programming like this anywhere else.
This is Thomas Crivens. Coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we've got the Wilkins Sisters live from the 2024 Riverbeat Music Festival here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.